Way to go. Okay. Now, I am starting something today that I want to try to carry out through the next, all next year. I'm setting a timer for myself. And I want to be done by the time the timer's done. And I took off the thing that went, because that would make me feel bad if I went over. But the word the Lord has given for us for this next year is to make space. Say with me, make space. So in our services, we want to make space. In our devotional life, we want to make space. In our quiet time, we want to make space. In our time with each other, let's make space. And so we want to make space. And so I'm going to actually have you do something today, and I want to be done so that we can make space for what God wants to do. So it's not just you listening. We're going to participate together. Someone say yes and amen to that. So we're going to make space for some things today, and I'm going to explain that to a moment. So let's begin. So about a month ago, over a month ago, I was sitting before the Father, and About a month ago, I was sitting before the Father, and I asked him, I said, Father, how are we doing? Really, I want to know. I want to know how we are doing. And the question was not based upon any kind of insecurity or any kind of feeling that there was something wrong between us. It was, I was wanting to make space for God to do an inventory of my heart. That is there anything there that is needs to be dealt with, anything that needs to be looked at. And so I wrote it in my journal. I said, Father, it was actually October 31st. Father, how are we doing? I really want to know. And I sat and I listened. And the first thing that came rushing to my mind was this word, elevation. Elevation. So I went, okay. And I wrote down elevation. I'm not sure what that means. So I wrote it down. Father, thank you that you're wanting to bring elevation. I received that right now. And then I sat quietly for a moment later, and immediately this thought again came back to my mind. And here's what the Father spoke to my heart that was dealing with this thought of elevation. He said this to me. I quote, Mike, I want you to raise your expectations of me. And I knew exactly what he was talking about. I knew exactly what he was saying. And one of the things that Matt Gonzalez talked about a couple Sunday nights ago about being family, it's being able to be vulnerable, to share things of life. And I'm just going to be vulnerable with you guys. That one of the areas that the Father was dealing with was for Deb and I. Deb, for our entire marriage, has dealt with migraine headaches. For over 30 years, she has dealt with migraine headaches. And I'm just going to ask you to do something for me. We think we understand why, that when a weather system comes in, like it's going to rain or the wind picks up, she is better than the Weather Channel knowing it's going to rain. Because she has said, is it going to rain 2 or 3 days beforehand? And the Weather Channel says, no, it's clear. And 2 or 3 days later, it's raining here. And so what we believe happens is that she physically feels the pressure of the change of the weather. And it causes migraines. So would you do me this? Would you, when you look at your Weather Channel or when you see the wind pick up or you see storm is coming, would you say, Father, I'm expecting you heal Deb right now? Would you do that with me? Would you agree that, Lord, we're going to say yes to your healing and no to 30 years of migraine? Yeah. Amen. Okay. The other thing that I've wrestled with, and it's been it's physical as well. For the last 7+ years, I get this reoccurring, tremendously severe ear pain where it just debilitates me. If it happened Saturday when we were going to pick up Matt, I can't hardly move. Happened on Thanksgiving. I had to go lay down, because it is so severe. I don't know what causes it. And Deb and I have been to the doctor. We've been prayed for. We've asked for prayer. We've prayed for each other. We've done everything we know how to do, and yet nothing has changed. For Deb, it's been 30 years. For me, it's been over 7 years. And here's what, when the Father says, Mike, I want you to raise my expectations of me, I knew exactly that these were areas that we needed to raise our expectations, I have become to this place because we've done everything we know how to do. We've prayed. We've asked for prayer. We've been anointed with oil. We've been to the doctor and nothing's changed. Here's what happened. Because nothing has changed for a long period of time, we began to lower our expectations of God's ability to heal. So I've been sitting on this for over a month, and I said, Father, is this just for me, what you're doing in my life? And I felt like the Father wanted me to share this with you and my family. And that morning of October 31st, as I sat before the Lord, God prophesied to me through a song that I heard back in 1986. And I don't know where your theology is, but man, it really hit me. And it's a song by Bruce Hornsby. And he wrote a song called The Way It Is. And the chorus goes like this. That's just the way it is. Some things will never change. That's just the way it is. Ah, but don't you believe it. And dear family, because we've been praying and we've done everything we know how to do, there began to settle in my heart. I didn't even realize it. That's just the way it is. Deb's headaches are going to be forever. My ear pain's going to be forever. That's just the way it is. Some things will never change. That's just the way it is. Ah, but don't you believe it. And dear family, there might be in here, and I'm sure there is, or the Father wouldn't have me share this message. I am sure there are people here that you have been believing and praying and fasting and doing everything you know how to do. And it might be relational. It might be physical. It might be emotional. It might be financial. And there has been no change. And so we begin to settle with, that's just the way it is. Some things will never change. That's the way it is. And I want to say to you today, don't you believe it. Would you say it with me? Or turn to someone and say, don't you believe it. Come on, tell them that. Don't believe it. And here's what happened. And this is what I want to address. When you are believing God, and Jeff nailed it today. It was so cool. He had no idea. When we are believing God and we're praying we're not getting our prayers answered. We're doing everything we know how to do and we just don't know what else to do. What can happen is that we begin to lower our expectations. And the reason why we lower our expectations is that we don't want to deal with disappointment. I don't want to be disappointed. I don't want to get my hopes up. What if I pray and it still doesn't happen? Or we go, man, this time I just don't want to go to the altar again. I've gone so many times and nothing has changed. I don't want to just do this again. I don't want to, because disappointment is hard to deal with, especially when you're trying to put your hope in God and nothing's happening, or seemingly is nothing's happening. And so you just go, I don't want to be disappointed. So we kind of put it on the back burner and say, well, God knows if he wants to have it happen, he will. You know, God understands in his timing. And we begin to make these excuses of saying, well, God knows. And it lowers our expectation. But here's the problem. When we lower our expectation, we actually get what we expect of God. So the more I lower my expectation, or the lower we make our expectation, we actually get that from God, because God is actually working in our faith. He's working in our hope. He's working in our love for him to do mighty things. So it's almost like we're surprised if God answers prayer. We're shocked. We almost say these words, God did something, I don't believe it. And that's the issue. We keep lowering our expectations of God because we don't want to be disappointed. And the writer of Proverbs 13, he nailed it when he says this, hope deferred, which means hope that's prolonged, hope that it goes further than we think it can or should. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And that word means to be weak, to make weak, to feel weak. It's like when you're sick, you don't really have the energy to get up and do anything. When you're sick, you just don't have the drive to believe. You just want to lay around and do nothing. I just don't have the energy. And when hope is deferred, when it's prolonged, it makes the heart feel weak. It makes us sick. But a desire fulfilled is like a tree of life. It's amazing how God, in an instant, when a desire is fulfilled, now we're eating the fruit of that and we just become alive. So this morning, that's just the way it is. No, it's not. It's not. Mike, you're just getting older. Your body's going to break down. Wait a sec here. Is that just the way it is? Is really that the way it is? Hey, listen, man, this our economy and what's going on in our government, it's just going to be a chaotic world. Really? Is that just the way it is? You know, our valley is never going to be this place of prosperity. This valley is never going to grow. It's just going to be this oppressive, just kind of a small town. Is that the way it is? Right? But we accept that's just the way it is. Some things will never change. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. So, will you go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Because today's like an introduction about expectation. And then we're going to give a moment. We're going to give some time, and I'm going to allow us to let the Father do an inventory of our heart. Is there some area of your life where you've just said, that's just the way it is? And let me just interject this before we get to verse 13. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul three times in his life said, Father, there's a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan. Would you remove it? My personal opinion was that these were times of suffering and persecution for the gospel. That he said, the Holy Spirit's warned me, wherever I go, I face jail and persecution. And I think three times in Paul's life, Paul says, I'm just tired of the persecution. Father, would you please remove it for me? And the Father said, no, this is for your good because my power is made perfect in your weakness. My grace is sufficient. So there may be times when the Father says, for right now, you're going to know a grace you have never known before and you're going to know a power. So right now, this is how it is. But if the Father doesn't say that, do not accept that's just the way it is. Okay. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're going to verse 8. And we're going to 8, 9, 10, and then 12 and 13. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. Go with me to verse 12. Now we see in a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Verse 13. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So follow with me. Now, one of the ways that we deal with raising expectations is that we've got to realize our first thought, every one of us carry a limitation. Every one of us carries limitation. And Paul says it this way, you only know in part. You don't know all that God is doing. And when you base a decision on just a part, you're probably going to make the wrong decision. You only know in part. In fact, the gift of prophecy is huge. The gift of prophecy comes to bring encouragement, but a gift of prophecy is only a part. It's not the whole. You and I do not know on earth the whole of what God is doing. You only know a part. So when you base a decision, God, you are not doing something, realize you don't know all that God is doing. You only know a part. When a word comes and the word is prophetically given and it resonates in your heart, remember, we receive that word, but that's not the whole of God is doing. It's only a part. Now, let me explain it this way. A dear friend of mine, Sean Smith, we were at a camp and he was the speaker of the camp. And there was this young man, brilliant young man. He was sophomore, junior in high school. And he's wrestling with this thought because his studies had led him to this place where he goes, I don't know if I believe there is a God. I don't know if he's real. I don't know if he exists. And so they said, Sean, would you come talk with him? And so the young man is sharing this thought. I don't know if I believe there's a God. And Sean did something brilliant. So we're sitting at a table and Sean took a bigger piece of paper than this, but he took a piece of paper and a pencil and he put it in front of this young man and he said, this piece of paper represents all the knowledge of the world, past and present. This carries all the knowledge of the world. Now, on this piece of paper and this pencil, I want you to mark on this piece of paper how much of that knowledge you possess. So the young man, I think wisely, he took the pencil and at the very bottom corner, he drew a dot. And he said, of all the knowledge of the world, this is probably all that I know, maybe not even that much. And Sean said, okay, So that's how much of all the knowledge of the world you know. And he said, yes. He said, do you think God could exist in this other part that you don't know? Do you think just because you don't believe there is a God, you don't know everything about what you're talking about? So don't make a huge decision about there is no God when you only know that much of all the knowledge of the world. Could God exist in this part and you just haven't found him yet? Dear family, the knowledge of God, how much do you possess of the knowledge of God? I don't know if I got a dot, right? God is bigger than what we know. You only know in part. Paul says this, we also see through a glass dimly. We see a poor reflection. And in those days, they didn't have the mirror technology we have today. They would take aluminum or their bronze and they would polish it as much as they could. And then they would look at this like a mirror, but it was a poor reflection. So dear family, Paul is saying, you only know in part and you don't see clearly all that God is doing. Now, when we get to heaven, guess what? We're going to be known and we're going to fully know because the limitations we carry on earth are going to be away. And when we get to heaven, we are going to see clearly because all the limitations we carry on this earth are going to be gone. There we are going to know fully. There we're going to see clearly. But here, before you make a decision of what God is or isn't doing, recognize, don't base it on just a little bit of information and just cloudy seeing. And accept that's just the way it is. I'm getting, you know, and I want some of you folks, and I've done this. Would you please forgive me? Please forgive me. I'm just getting older. My body's breaking down. Is that the way it is? Is that the way it is? Or is that what we've accepted, the reality of it? Where God gave Caleb supernatural strength. They who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Do we take the scripture and go, well, that means something else? Or can we really believe that even though we are older, we don't have to break down? And we'll come into the kingdom going, I'm coming. Now, I get it. I get it. Please don't be offended by this. I understand there are challenges. I get it. But what I don't want us to do is to lower expectations of God, because God who calls things that are not as though they were, God who spoke into existence the heavens and the earth, God who said to a Red Sea, stop, and they parted, God who does all these things says to us, don't lower your expectations of me. And even in John 5, where here's a man who is born, or for 38 years he's an invalid, and Jesus comes to him and says, would you like to be made well? 38 years, he's an invalid. And the man says, here's what I see. Here's what I know. The water is when it stirs by an angel. I can't get down there, so I can't be healed. And here, the healer, the God of the universe was standing right before him, and he couldn't see him, and he couldn't know him because all he saw was the water was, I can't get down when the water stirred. 38 years, he's an invalid. And Jesus said, get up, take your mat. 40 years in Acts chapter 3 with Peter and John, where a guy had been there for 40 years, an invalid, and Peter and John looked at him and says, I don't have silver and gold, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk. Dear friends, do we just mouth those words that we believe that? Or is there something within our heart that says, this is real today? Don't lower your expectations. Don't lower your expectations. Now, here's the second part. Paul says in Romans chapter 13, verse 13, he says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. So, Paul says, right now, we have limitations. Right now, we know in part, we prophesy in part, and right now, we see through a glass dimly. And let me interject real quick. That's why I think 1 Corinthians 12 is important, because all of us just get a part. When we get our parts together, we begin to understand clearly. We get more of a whole picture. I'm your pastor. I only get a part. I don't get the whole. I only get a part. My part's important, but your part is important, because together we get a bigger picture than we just do separately and by ourselves. Okay. Everybody okay, by the way? Okay. Let me hurry. Thank you, Jerry. Here's the other part. God, this is really huge. God is working right now what will carry through eternity. He's got a priority right now in your life because what he's doing now is eternal. So the first two times Paul says now, when he says now we see, he's saying right now on earth, now we see, now we just have a little bit of knowledge, now we see, as, but now he ends up with, and now these three remain. And here's the thought. What is God is doing right now will carry through forever. And just as there's Father, Son, Holy Spirit, there's a Trinity. And if you look through the scripture, you'll see the Father and the Son and the Father and the Spirit and Spirit and Jesus and the Spirit and the Father and the Son. You'll see the Trinity always working together in loving us and working in our lives. This is the Trinity of what God is doing in our hearts. You will see through scripture, there, you'll see these a combination of faith and hope, hope and love, hope and faith. You will see throughout scripture, these three always intertwined. And even though they're separate, they're not separated. That there are three things, but they're one thing. They're like the cord of three strands. So what God is consistently and constantly doing in our lives, he is developing in us faith, hope, and love. That when he's working, it's always so that we get stronger in faith, in hope, and in love. So right now, the word faith, as we understand it, means trust. It means confidence. It means belief. So right now, he's developing faith in our lives. But when we get to heaven, our faith in him is going to explode because we don't have the limitations of this earthly body. Hope carries the idea of expectation and anticipation. Right now, he is developing hope in our lives. But when we get to heaven, hope's going to explode because we will expect things of him and from him without limitation. And then love. We are receiving love today, but when we get to heaven, we are going to be in an atmosphere of so much love, we couldn't take it on earth right now. So understand something in your life. God is working constantly to develop the things that remain: faith, hope, and love. Hey, what about knowledge? It'll pass away. What about prophecy? It'll pass away. What about tongues? They will be stilled. Things that we need right now because we see in limitation, that's going to pass away because in his presence, we are going to be faith, hope, and love to the max. So why wouldn't God invest here what he's going to do forever? You guys okay? So let me give you some scriptures on this. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for. Faith, belief, confidence, trust is the substance, and here's what that word means here, expectation. What are we expecting God to do and be in our lives? Faith is the substance of what we hope for. Let me read you 1 Thessalonians. Hey, Darren, could you go to 1 Thessalonians 1:3? And here we see the Trinity of, if you will, the triune working of faith, hope, and love. Look what it says in 1 Thessalonians 1:3. He says, would you read out loud? We remember before our God and Father, okay, our God and Father, your work produced by your labor prompted by and your endurance inspired by in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see again, you see the Trinity, you see the Father and the Son, because Paul then goes on to the working of the Holy Spirit right after this. But here he is, it's your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope. That these three things God is constantly developing in our lives, so that we have a stronger faith, a higher hope, and a greater love. That God is teaching us. So before we say, that's just the way it is, same things will never change. No. I don't see this clearly. I don't have all the information, so I'm not going to make that decision. But Father, I do know this. You are developing faith, hope, and love in my heart. And so whatever I go through, I've got to look through that lens and not just what I see taking place in front of me. Thanks, Paul. So let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 5. Hey, guys, and I have got 6 minutes and 20 seconds left. because I want to actually do something. I want us to take some time. I'm serious. Oh, 6 minutes. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says this. Darren, could you put Romans 5, 1 up, please? Therefore, verse 1, since we have been justified, here's our word, through faith, we have peace with God, Trinity, think in the Trinity here, triune. We have faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Here's why, because we know that suffering produces something. It produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us. Why? Because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. So it's a perspective. It's not that I see something and it's been 30 years of migraines, so we just kind of go, well, that's just the way it is. No, there is this idea that we, even in the midst of suffering, we know that God is producing something in our lives. Of faith, hope, and love. That God, even in the worst difficult trials, is developing something of faith, of hope, and of love. And what that does, instead of lowering our expectations to this point that says, well, that's just the way it is, we start looking instead for God, you are doing something in my heart, in my life, in my family's life. You're doing something, and I'm expecting something from you. Because you are developing that in me. When I pray for you, you're going to hear this every time. Lord, I expect. I pray for some people today, and you're going to hear me say, I expect, whatever it is, I'm expecting God for you to do this. Why? Because he spoke specifically to all of our hearts, raise your expectations of him. Well, Mike, that's just the way it is. Don't believe it. It's not the way it is. It's not the way it is. Let me give you a last verse, Romans chapter 15. And if some of you right now are wrestling with this thought, present it to the Lord and we're going to give you a chance. I'm going to be done and we're going to take the chance to do this. Romans 15. He said, raise your expectations of me. Not of circumstances. Raise them in me. Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust. There's our word faith. Trust in him. So how's your joy? How's your peace? When you are filled with the faith, hope, and love, joy and peace, they come along with it. If you don't have peace, if you don't have joy, raise your expectations of him. Well, Mike, what if it doesn't happen? Aha! Proverbs 13. Hope deferred makes the heart weak. Right? So, Father, I don't see everything clearly. I don't understand everything wholly. So I understand right now what you're doing is you're developing something in me of faith, hope, and love. So I'm not going to focus on what I see. I'm going to focus on the God of hope, who's going to fill us with all peace and joy as we hope in him. And then he says this, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Dear family, this is our heritage. This is our inheritance. This has been given to us by God. This is ours. This is ours. I'm going to say it one more time. This is ours. This is ours. It's ours. Right here, right now, this is ours. We place our expectation in our relationship with our Father and not with our knowledge that's limited and what we see which is limited. Listen, when you see what's going on in the news, don't let it suck the hope out of you. I turn it off. I can't, because it makes my hope go, right? I don't want to get out of bed. We're dying. We're all going to hell. It's all, that's a bunch of caca. God is working in us to develop faith, hope, and love. So I want to give you a tool. There's a book right now that I'm almost done, and it's the book is called Hope Quotient. Hope Quotient by a guy by the name of Ray Johnston. And he writes very practical ways in which we can elevate our hope. That, you know what, God is working in us and we partner with him to raise our hope. So next time, if it happens, next time this ear starts hurting, if it happens, guess what Mike Richardson's going to do? Oh, Father, you're doing a great work right here in my head. You are doing something, you're developing something in me that is just unbelievable. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. And I'm expecting you to do a great thing here because that's who you are. See the difference? Then that's just the way it is. Some things will never change. That's just the way it is. Ah, but don't you believe it? Hal Lindsey is quoted in this book where he says, we can live about 40 days without food, about 3 days without water, about 8 minutes without air, but only for a second without hope. Without hope, we begin to cope by using things and people in ways that we should never use them for. Hope. Raise your expectation. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to either grab a piece of paper or a pencil or on your phone or on your tablet. You might have a thing for notes. Hey, and I did it. 30 minutes. I am very proud of myself for doing that. Mike, way to go. I like to talk, and when I discipline myself, yeah, man. Here's what I want you to do. If it's on your phone, if you have a place for notes, if you have a piece of, there should be a piece of paper, like a card, a pen, something, and we're gonna put on some real soft music in the background, and we're gonna take the next few moments, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask the Father, how are we doing really? I want to know. I want to know. Now listen, he doesn't condemn, he doesn't shame. We make space, we do an inventory. Is there something blocking that I don't even see where I've lowered my expectations of you? Where I don't see you as the God of miracles. I don't see you the God of power. I don't see you as the God of just doing marvelous things. I don't see you that way anymore. I just kind of, well, if it happens, it happens. But we're going to put on some music in just 2 seconds. And I want you, we're going to give a Selah moment. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to ask the Father, how are we doing really? Really? Because I really want to know. And then we're going to trust that by the person of the Holy Spirit, he's going to address. He might say, you're doing fabulous. It's okay. But where you have lowered expectations, that's a possibility. Let's allow him to speak to us. Darren, guys, can you put on some music just real soft? And we'll just come back together for prayer. So go ahead. Let's do this. Go. Okay, would you stand with me? Unless the Father's still speaking something to you, then just stay where you're at. A mark of healthy family is vulnerability. The ability to say, hey man, I'm still in progress. There's still a work going on. Here's the next step I'm going to ask from you. How do you feel about confessing to someone else and have them pray for you? Where I've lowered an expectation. Where I've just said, that's just the way it is. There's something about confessing that to someone else where it makes space for the Father to fill in with his love and his assurance. There's something about being in a community of people where you know you're not going to be judged, made fun of, condemned when you share, hey man, I've lowered expectations. Do you know how cool it is for a pastor to be able to stand before a congregation and be honest with them? Do you know how freeing that is? Can I say thank you? Really, because so often pastors have to pretend like everything is always perfect. And can I tell you honestly? We're not. Well, I'm not. I can't speak for anybody else. Maybe they all are. But there's something about saying there's an area, and you don't have to even say what it is, but I've just lowered my expectations of the Father. Would you pray for me? And that might mean we all have a few people up here who will pray for you, or it might be just someone next to you. But can we take now just a few moments, and we are building a community of vulnerability. We're building family where we can share honestly with each other, and you can share as much as you feel comfortable with. You don't have to share if you don't feel comfortable, but share with, hey, listen, there is an area. You don't have to tell what it is, but if you feel comfortable enough to say, man, when it comes to my family, I just don't know if things are going to change. My finances, I just don't know. You can just, as much as you want to be vulnerable, you can. But can we make some space here for Holy Spirit to do something in our body to bring wholeness and health in faith, hope, and love? Okay? So guys, can you turn that music back on? It was really cool. And would you take, we'll be here, Deb and I will be here. If you want to come forward for prayer, we got some people who have been trained in prayer. Come on up, you know who you are. But if you just want to turn and say, hey, would you pray for me in this area? So let's take a few moments and let's do that. Ready? Go, go. Go and do that. Share with someone. Come down here. We've got some people who are ready to pray. Mary can come. We got some people, but I want you to, would you just share with someone, or we'll be right here praying for you. Does everybody clear what I'm asking? Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Is it clear as mud? What? Yeah, you should be doing something. Thank you, Tara. Instead of just looking at me, you should all be facing each other in some way. Ready? Come on, let's go ahead and do that real quick.